Many years ago, when we lived in Amarillo, I was peeling carrots at the kitchen sink one afternoon when suddenly my eldest son, Will, then about 5 years old, swooped in, wearing a cape, his arms outstretched and his fists clenched. "Hi, Mom," he said. "Do you know who I am?" "No, Will, I don't know. Who are you?" "I'm Crossman." "Oh, I see. Want to know how I fight the bad guys?" "Sure, Will." Will leaned over to touch his brother Ben, who was 3, on the shoulder, and he said, "I touch the bad guys and make them good." Well, 2 things struck me immediately. Number one, my 5-year-old is already a brilliant theologian. And number two, he's right. Those touched by Jesus are forever changed. In today's story from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, it's not a bad guy who's touched, but a mother. You'll remember from last week that Jesus had entered the synagogue in Capernaum on the Sabbath to teach and proclaim the breaking in of God's kingdom. But his teaching was itself broken in on. A man with an unclean spirit kept interrupting and saying awkward things like, "I know who you are the Holy One of Israel." Jesus silenced the demonic spirit and delivered that man. Jesus changed him and made him good. He then left the synagogue with 4 fishermen, recently turned disciples. They went to Simon's and Andrew's house, presumably to eat the Sabbath meal. But at the house, they discovered that Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever. A fever wasn't just an annoyance in the ancient world. It could easily signal a fatal infection and lead to death. So Jesus went to the woman's bedside and touched her. He took her by the hand and lifted her up. The fever broke, and she was so completely recovered that she got up to serve them, which meant she got up to make dinner. As someone who just spent quite a few days in bed with a fever, I can testify that even if your fever breaks quite naturally, you are not about to spring up out of bed and make dinner. It makes me appreciate the power of Jesus' healing that she rose up to serve him. The word our Bible translates "lifted up" is the same word Mark uses to say Jesus was raised from the dead. According to the very Reverend Cynthia Kittredge, New Testament professor and dean at the Episcopal Seminary of the Southwest in Austin, this is a little resurrection, one of many in Mark, foreshadowing the great one to come. That evening, when the sun went down, the Sabbath ended. So then it was permitted for everyone in town to carry their sick loved ones to Simon's house. So many people came that it seemed the whole city was at the door. And Jesus did for them what he did for the first two. He cured many who were sick, and he cast out many demons. A really full day for Jesus. Basically, the first day of his ministry. How many people did he touch that day? How many were changed? Early the next morning, in that time of deep silence before sunrise, Jesus rose and walked outside to be alone and to pray. But before long, he heard the footsteps of his eager disciples and their penetrating voices crying, "Everyone is searching for you." Mark doesn't give us any details, but it's not hard to imagine that the disciples have been wowed by Jesus' success. Perhaps they're already thinking about a new synagogue plant, building campaigns, and average Sabbath attendance. But Jesus says, no, let's move on to the neighboring towns to proclaim the message there also, for this is what I was given to do. A curious thing about the place where Jesus goes for prayer, the Greek word means desert or wilderness, but there are no deserts around Capernaum. It's on the Sea of Galilee, very green, very lush. That's why our Bible translated the word as a deserted place. Mark is using the same word he used to describe Jesus being driven by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by Satan, as if to say, Jesus now is facing another temptation. Perhaps the temptation to settle. Settle for success. Settle for the known. Settle for the comfortable. Apparently, Jesus' period of prayer clarifies in his mind what God's purpose is for him, to journey all around Galilee, preaching and healing, touching and changing lives. In the metaphorical desert, Jesus confronts the demon dogging him and through prayer breaks free. Our world is filled with many kinds of demons. The demon of ambition is a common one. The demon of addiction is one of the cruelest. And there is a demon of divisiveness tormenting many in public office. Who will deliver us? The author Laura Winner wrote some time ago in the Christian Century about her struggle with the demon of anxiety. When she couldn't stand one more argument with her mother about the glasses of vodka her mother insisted were water, Laura tried going to an Al-Anon meeting. There, someone made the completely shocking suggestion that her feelings didn't have to be the last word in her head. She learned to speak back to her feelings, telling her fear or anxiety that for the next 15 minutes, she wasn't going to pay them any attention. After a quarter of an hour, she could go back to the feeling if she wanted to, or she could choose to ignore it for another 15 minutes. She wrote that she still lives by quarter hours. Our place of prayer, our deserted place, is where we can turn to Jesus and allow his change, his touch, to change us, to give us the courage to face our demons and recover our purpose. My prayer is that the world in its fevered state will look up to see the face of Jesus and take his outstretched hand and feel the healing power of his love, and then rise up to serve him. Amen.